My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of Inside United. Our guest today is Dr. Roy Fauch. Dr. Roy Fauch is a licensed professional clinical counselor with a PhD in psychology, and he is now the Mental Health Services Director at the Hamilton County Justice Center in Cincinnati. He is also in private practice as a Christian family and marriage counselor. So welcome to Inside United.
Hi, Vic. It's good to see you again. Certainly a lot has happened since we last talked. I'm looking forward to talking to you about some of those and how we can deal with them as we move forward.
So Dr. Fauch, what changes have you noticed in the overall mental health of society in the past year?
What I've noticed the past year is that there have been an increase in many of the symptoms that trouble people when they have been put under what I would call chronic stress over extended periods of time. It's almost like a form of trauma, but it's more slow acting, but it definitely has some of the same type of effects. So what you see is that, you know, people are experiencing depression. They're having increases in anxiety. Anger is definitely an emotion that people are expressing because they don't feel that they have much control over the circumstances in their lives. They're also more acting out behaviors, like with domestic violence. There's much more aggression. Murders are on the increase, and suicide rates are up. Working in the jail, as you mentioned, you know, we're seeing a lot more fights. We're seeing, you know, a lot more people coming in with violent acts that they've committed. And so this is partially the result of just the chronic stress of the pandemic, some of the social and political unrest that's going on in our country, and people witnessing, you know, this on their TVs and people talking about it. And it just kind of compounds the whole experience of not feeling safe and secure and not really knowing what the future holds.
Well, one thing that's been not only the pandemic, but we had the racial tensions last year, and then we've had other types of things. We had an election that was a crazy election, you know, that really had people bouncing all over the place emotionally on it. And still the after effects are here. And all this is still compounded with uncertainty, even with the vaccines and even with everything else that is being promised.
Yeah, the other thing I've seen a lot of in regards to that is, you know, there's an increase in fear and mistrust. And there's been what I would consider a more of a distortion of the truth. There's so many distorted ideas out there. People are like grasping to try to understand what's happening in our world today. And unfortunately, there are people that take advantage of that. And so people are kind of tapping into some of those theories, and it's affecting them emotionally and behaviorally.
I guess conspiracy theories are just the heart and core of it, or the maybe just one manifestation. We could talk about that probably for hours. Mm-hmm. But I think that what we really want to get to, we want to give some keys to coping in these troubled times so that you can give some advice that you give in your private counseling, mm-hmm. and also in your counseling as the director of programs. First of all, what are some of the most severe changes that you've noticed behaviorally?
Well, I think the things that I've noticed, there seems to be more division and projecting of blame onto certain races and certain ethnic groups, and kind of demonizing certain groups. So that's quite troubling. And I think the racial unrest the reaction of some police officers, not all, has, you know, kind of contributed to just an increase in that type of violence and aggression and the division that I'm seeing that is occurring within families, within communities, within churches, between countries. And so I just see things, you know, getting much more difficult in that sense, that instead of people working together towards a common good, they seem to be trying to act out their anger, their lack of control towards certain groups of people or individuals.
What positive changes have you seen?
I've seen some people begin to reach out in their communities and begin serving people, you know, serving people with food, providing, you know, volunteer work. That's been positive. I think if we take the opportunities that we get, even if they're negative situations, and we can find some way to pull something positive from it, I think it will get us through this. If we can shut out the negative and find ways to help our communities, certainly within the family units, within our marriages, we have more time potentially to spend with one another, to talk, to share things, to get engaged in activities that are more connecting rather than disconnecting, focus more on the things we do have control over, like our relationships, and whether it's community relationships, family relationships, church relationships, and that we just be supportive of one another, encourage one another the way Christ would do if he was here.
The two words that I hear a lot, anxiety and anger. People are just very, very anxious. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, there's a scripture about that, be not anxious. Right. Yep. The other one is anger. Mm-hmm. And there's an anger that you don't even know what you're angry at, but you're just plain angry. I want you to tell me what conscious steps I should take to cope with this. One expression I've heard in a newsletter that I've gotten this past week, be prepared for the tidal wave of grief coming. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some real bad things coming. And so mm-hmm. people read these kinds of things and say, what in the world is coming next to us?
Yeah, well, the tidal wave of grief is an interesting concept because, you know, grief is about loss. You know, loss of peace, loss of being able to do the things we enjoy doing, loss of jobs, loss of financial security. So things that are going on in our country, you know, the political conflicts that are going on, you know, so people are feeling very insecure about this. But bringing it down to more the personal level, you know, and we all experience anger, no doubt about it. The Bible talks a lot about anger and how to deal with anger. One of the things that I tell people all the time is, you know, don't act your anger out. You know, sometimes what you need to do is remove yourself from the situation. And I typically would do a walk and then pray to God if I was upset about something. By the time I got back, I wasn't upset about it. God had put some, you know, some fresh thoughts into my mind. But get those emotions down so that they're not being acted out with harsh words or accusations or misunderstandings. So removing yourself from an emotionally charged situation is always a good idea. Also, it's very important to be a good listener, you know, because I think sometimes we get angry because we misperceive what someone's saying, or we don't know why they feel the way they do about a situation. So by being a good listener, before you react to what you think you heard or are perceiving, you know, you ask the person, you know, why do you feel the way that you do? What is it that's going on in your life at this moment or in our relationship that's causing you to feel angry? And so once you understand that and you're able to kind of reflect it back to that person, a lot of times it causes the anger to go down because maybe you had it wrong. Maybe you have a deeper understanding of why the person feels the way they do. And you can switch from being angry maybe to being supportive or encouraging.
Just recently, I had a discussion with a friend and he talked about just, you know, behavioral things between people, between close people, even coworkers. Mm-hmm. And he said that when people get into certain angry responses for no reason at all, where you say, here's I have an idea about this, about how to make this better. And the response may be, nope, it won't work, or I don't think it will. Mm-hmm. And this have a snappy answer back that, I don't think that's going to work at all. He said that one thing that when somebody offers a suggestion, to take 1 minute to love it you know, and say, tell me more about that. Instead of having a reactive,
right.
It's not going to work.
That's right.
Or we've done it before, or that type of response.
Right. We all want to be understood, right? Mm-hmm. And so people want to be understood why they feel the way they do. And yeah, if you take that minute just to try to see things from their perspective and understand why they're seeing it the way they are, you may actually glean something from it that actually is very useful and true. You know, and then when you do that, it lowers the temperature of the emotions when people feel understood and feel like they've been heard.
Otherwise, people get very frustrated and mm-hmm. They ratchet up the tension of the whole thing.
Yeah, the other thing that's a very easy thing to do is to exercise. You know, we have all this pent-up emotion, negative emotions, and, you know, it starts affecting our brain chemistry to a certain extent, which leads to depression, anxiety, anger. By exercising, it releases positive chemicals into the brain. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a better sense of well-being and you see things a little differently. And you just get a lot of that negative energy out, whether it's walking, running, weightlifting, anything like that's going to help process some of that emotion.
Now, I'm sure that people come to you with aspects of depression. I mean, this is one big word. I believe we talked about that last year, about depression. How do you deal with a person who honestly comes before you and said, Dr. Fauch, I am just plain depressed. Get me out of this dark hole.
Well, the first thing I try to do is figure out what the source of the depression is. You know, there is something called clinical depression. There are people who suffer from a medical condition that they've either inherited or they've experienced through trauma. The kind of depression that most of us are experiencing nowadays is more situational depression, but it's chronic. You know, I mean, we all have depressing moments where we might lose a job or a loved one or something like that, and we might go through a depressive episode. But this situation we're in right now is chronic, so it's just kind of going on and on and on. And so finding things in life to focus on that are positive, to create positive experiences for yourself and for your loved ones. The other thing that lends itself to anxiety and depression are our thoughts. You know, how we think affects our emotions. And so if we're going to be the kind of person that's always going to catastrophize or think the worst of everything, then that's just going to feed our depression. So part of what I try to do with people is help them to reframe their experiences, you know, that they're going through. Obviously, you know, talking about how God, you know, works with us and deals with us, and using scripture to kind of remind us of what God has to say about the circumstances we're in, whether it's a trial, temptation, or what it might be. And if we can just use the wisdom of God and Jesus Christ and, you know, the Bible, then we can find better ways of looking at our reality and understanding that this reality is a part of what God told us we were going to be experiencing from time to time.
Well, perhaps even when a person is confronted with information, like you said, they think the worst. And in a sense, that is bearing false witness. You know, it's taking information that another person could see the bright side of, mm-hmm. and you take the worst side, mm-hmm. and you make it worse, and you almost invent things to make it worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what hurts you. It's a breaking of God's law. Mm-hmm. People think that lying doesn't hurt. Well, I think that we realize that it does, but it's something which really can cause depression, because it could put you into a state of mind that you've got to dig yourself out from.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of taking a look at what a person's reality is about what's going on right now. It was interesting. I think I may have mentioned this the last time. Viktor Frankl wrote a book, In Search of Meaning, yeah. where, you know, the people in the concentration camps, there were two kinds of people. There were people who just sort of gave up and died. And there was another group of people who, you know, seemed to thrive. They seemed to be able to, they were survivors. And so there's a mindset that goes along with being a survivor, you know, staying close to God, talking to God, you know, often, knowing that he's in charge of your life, trusting him, you know, these sort of things, knowing that he's going to get you through it. So this just creates a whole different mindset and emotional experience when you're able to see things from his standpoint.
Well, one thing we had mentioned earlier here is talking about some keys to coping in troubled times. What specific hooks can you give us here to hang some of the things that we have that trouble us?
Well, I think first and foremost is our relationship with God, that we have a active prayer life, that we're actively listening to what God says through his word. There is no greater coping skill than that. And if we do that on a daily basis, and we start our day with that, you know, we are going into the world with God's mindset as these things are happening around us, and that we will be able to cast out fear, cast out anger. So that is the most important hook. Now, secondarily to that, I would say, you know, having a good support system, you know, being able to talk about things with people whom you love and who you trust, and family members. And this is an important thing, I think, that we need to do with our children. you know, our children have feelings too. And sometimes they're not always able maybe to express them as well as an adult. But we need to create an environment for everyone in the family to be able to, you know, express their feelings about their experience of things so that we can help change their mindset from one of fear to one of hope.
Well, one of the words that we talk about, anger and anxiety, but I think probably the third word I've heard is fear.
Yeah, I mean, people fear the unknown. But if you know God's plan for mankind, you know that in the end, God wins, Jesus Christ wins, and the people of God win. You know, there is going to be a time when there's peace on earth, goodwill towards men. There's going to be a time when there aren't wars. There's no more tears, no more suffering. You know, it's there. And, you know, we just have to keep our vision on that and know that that's coming and try to learn from the situations that we find ourselves in and be a helper and a peacemaker as we go through life.
Now, you had mentioned about prayer, and obviously that's one of the key things that we teach, you know, in the ministry. And it's not just some type of activity that's a good activity. It's something which I believe is built into the human psyche that a person has to pray. It's interesting, I saw a statistic that upwards of one-third to one-half of atheists pray. You know, I'm not sure what they pray to, whatever, but just say a prayer for me. They have these statements like that. They don't know if they pray to God or whatever, but they know they want to talk to something outside of them. Mm-hmm. But we talk to an actual being to talk to God himself, right, who listens, and that gives it that real strength.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a relationship. You know, it's a father, son or daughter relationship, a perfect father relationship, not the fathers that, you know, we may have had that had imperfections, but a father who has no imperfections, who's always there, who's always patient, who's always willing to listen to us, who's willing to help us when we need help, sometimes allows us to go through things to build certain character traits within us. And then we've got Jesus Christ, our elder brother. He's another entity that we can talk to. So these relationships are very important, and they're not so distant from us. You know, they are very close to us, but it needs to be personal, and any relationship needs nurturing. So you need to spend time. It needs to be sincere time. It needs to be not only praying for yourself, but praying for others, because I think that's very important, because, you know, God says that, you know, that prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, you know, we want to pray for one another. And the more we know about each other's trials, which is another reason why it's important for us to be open with one another so that we can pray for each other.
And one thing, too, that you had talked about as far as ridding yourself of these dark feelings where you're just in a hole. Have you talked to people about doing something for somebody? You know?
Absolutely. I like to think of it as it is almost impossible to help somebody and be kind to somebody and not experience joy. And so, I encourage, I have from the very beginning encouraged volunteerism. First job I had in the mental health field was working with a young boy in Columbus at the Columbus State Hospital. And I worked with him for years, from being a boy into being an adult. And he had the unfortunate experience of watching his mother burn to death at the stove. But he had, you know, lots of mental problems. But that was a relationship, you know, it must have lasted 10 years or better. And so, those things are extremely helpful. And, you know, the other thing it does, it helps other people, you know, extend themselves as well. You know, when they experience giving, you know, a lot of times people want to give in return.
Can you perhaps tell me about some joyful experience you had in your counseling where you really got through to somebody and you really experienced improvement?
I had a couple come in one time, and I give people this document. It's called an intimacy agreement, and it's mostly about communication. Well, they came in and they started putting that into practice, and they called me up and they said, you know, things are going great. Thank you so much. We won't be coming back. So
you've lost some customers.
Hey, you know, I like losing customers like that. But then I've had other people. I have two people that I've been working with for 10 years. Again, trauma victims. And they've stayed with me all this time.
But it's wonderful that they at least want to come to you and talk to you and feel like they have that time to look at a different world, because there are people that are very troubling when they really can't get out of a situation, when you say, come on, snap out of it?
Well, for some people, you just have to unravel the experiences and then the emotions that go with it. I mean, if you talk about any kind of abuse, oftentimes there's a lot of shame and guilt. You know, the person feels like they've done something to make this happen to them. So you have to kind of like teach them that, you know, not shame on me, shame on them for what they did to you, you know, and it's not your shame. And I actually had a young lady I've been seeing for a while, and she wrote a book. And the title of the book was Give the Shame Back. So,
what else can you tell us?
Well, I think in the times that we're in now, besides, you know, focusing on the family more, like I said, but I think there's things we can do with our families. It's springtime in most places now, and, you know, getting out in nature. I mean, it's hard to be out in nature and not experience some joy and some peace. You know, trees are some of my favorite, if not my favorite plant. You know, I love the trees, love being in the woods with the trees, flowers, cool breezes. Also, you know, doing creative things like artwork. And, you know, children are really good about expressing their emotions through art. And I've worked with art therapists for a number of years, and I use art and play as a way sometimes to help children, you know, express themselves. My 4-year-old granddaughter the other day had a bad experience with her father. So she's in the back seat with her dolls acting out that scenario. Anything that validate people, make people feel, you know, important, that enhance, you know, just to get your mind off the negative. So you can change your thoughts, but you can also change activities and put things in your life. Music is another thing. You can create music. You can listen to music. A lot of those things can be very nurturing to the soul.
I really have appreciated the work you have done. I admire anybody in the social field. That includes ministry. Mm-hmm. That includes ministry because I began in the ministry over 50 years ago, and many of my cohorts, the people of my did not continue on. They went into other fields, and I really appreciate anyone who can stay with it, who can live with the good, but also live with the things that don't work out and accept it philosophically in life.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I did want to mention one thing. We were talking about anxiety a little bit ago. So I'd ask your permission earlier if I could just read this one scripture and then just kind of summarize it for the people, because this really shows us how, in my mind, God is the great, I don't want to call him a psychologist, but he knows the mind better than anybody. He created the mind. So he knows what works for the mind. So here in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, he says the following. Be anxious for nothing. In some places it says, do not worry, because worry doesn't do anything but create negative emotions and negative perceptions. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So if we break this scripture down, this is a perfect scripture to deal with anxiety, fear, and even to some extent depression. What we see is the key points are we are to humbly pray to our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ and make our requests known to them. And then the second step is we give thanks for the things that He has done for us and the positive things in our lives, the loved ones in our life. Jesus Christ, who died for us and has given us an opportunity to live forever. He knows that we have worries and He knows we have concerns. And if we trust Him, He will bring us through it. And by bringing us through it, I mean, He will give us peace of mind. And lastly, our minds are to focus on positive things God has shared with us through His word and the beauty of His creation and the hope that lies ahead. And if we focus on these things, all this noise around us, all this negativity, as long as we are not tapping into it and our ears are becoming itchy to see what conspiracy theory might be the right one, you know, if we got to stay away from that stuff, because Satan is broadcasting all kinds of stuff that is not based in truth.
This has been just so wonderful talking to you today, Dr. Fauch. We have really appreciated the advice that you have given. Be sure to tell your friends about Inside United. The place to find this is on the homepage of the ucg.org website. And go to the main menu bar and click or tap on podcast. Or you can use your favorite podcasting app on Apple or Android. And yet, we're also on Spotify. You go to podcasts and search for Inside United, and you can have the podcast come to you. So we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at podcast@ucg.org. Have a great week. Come back soon for more.